morning. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt here with Rick and Jill Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. It's looking a little frostier out there than the last time I saw you guys.
Oh, yes.
A little bit of snow this week.
Yeah, a little bit of snow. And I notice out the lake where I'm at, Blackstrap, it's there's a lot of steam coming off the lake today, so it's quite something.
It's definitely looking and feeling a little bit more like kind of that late fall, early winter.
Yeah. No, my voice, I apologize for that, but we had...
I've been yelling.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, we had the Chocolate Cure Cancer Fundraiser on Friday night, and I haven't heard the numbers yet, but from my mouth and my head, I think we did very well. So, and during the auction, I kind of lost my voice. Yes.
During the auction, you got a little heated.
Yeah. He does the spotting, and so he just has so much fun with the crowd.
I'm one of the ringmen, so yeah, I just have so much fun with the crowd, and everybody just gets into it, and it was quite amazing how this community of Saskatchewan gets behind something like, you know, some equipment that helps people from cancer, you know, and it really is quite amazing. And
one thing I saw at Friday's event is just the demographics that was there, and it didn't matter how old somebody was.
Yes, I agree.
Every age group was giving.
Yeah.
And it was awesome to see whether someone had an extra $50 or $100 or $10,000.
Yeah.
They were putting their hand up and they were giving.
Part of the auction, we have an inspired giving.
Okay.
So, you know, so it just starts up high, you know.
And
just keeps coming down. And it was just amazing how everybody was into it, from whether it was $10,000 down to $100, you know.
Every little bit counts.
Everybody was just so, you know, just waving their cards, you know, and it was quite fun. It was really fun.
Yeah. Sounds like a good reason to lose the voice, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
If you have a question for Rick or Jill, you can give us a call or text 1-877-332-8255. We do have a text on the text line. Just give me 1 second. I will show you these pictures. It says, "Hi, my plum tree has never produced, and now the trunk is looking a bit odd." So here's one of the pictures that's been sent in. Looks like a tree trunk, but maybe has like some pieces kind of taken out of it a little bit. Looks like, I don't know, maybe missing some bark.
Yeah. Almost like the bark is cracking.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's, from what I can tell there, it's healed over again. You can see, I'm just going to explain to the rest of the listeners so they can understand. You see some, what looks like cracks and then old bark, but then you see some brown bark in strips. And that brown bark is what's new bark, is which is healed.
Okay.
And so I think that tree will be okay.
Let's see. There's a picture with leaves as well. Looks like sort of a normal green leaf, but then there's kind of, I don't know if it's like a burning, but it's like a little bit brown and then holes inside the leaf.
Those spots are looks like they're for something else, either fungal or like it's a little bit fuzzy, that picture. But I mean, it looks like either fungal on it or it could be look like almost like a spider mite issue on the leaves. And so what I want you to do with that tree is I think it looks okay. Like the trunk doesn't look like I'd be too concerned about it.
Mm-hmm. If you were missing all the bark on like one half of the tree or as a ring all the way around one side, then that would be a problem.
But there's lots of good new bark there. So that's a good thing. That's what we're going to, you know, give all the sap up to the rest of the tree. So just make sure that your next starting next spring that you're given a fertilizer of fruit and berry.
Okay.
I don't want to use a high nitrogen. I don't want to use a 20-20-20 or anything like that, because then you won't get as much fruit either. So just use a fruit and berry, which only has like a 1 or 2 nitrogen in it. And but it has all the other micronutrients in it.
Okay.
And
should you wrap that trunk for the winter?
You know, that's a good point, Jill, is that I would tend to put, if you have any issues with the trunk, it might be reflection off the snow. It could be reflection off a white fence or anything like that. So just put a trunk wrap around the tree.
Okay.
And put it on in about this time of the year, and take it off in May, and then put it in the storage, and then do that every year. And that'll just help keep the sun off of it. And usually the most of the trunk wraps are white, so they reflect the sun. And it also keeps the rodents away from it as well.
That's always a good thing, too.
Yep.
So there is hope for this plum tree.
Yes.
Just maybe needs a little extra love.
Just an extra little love. And if you really want to try something to really revive a tree that's having issues, there's a product from Dirt and Grow out in Winnipeg. This is he's just an organic fertilizer guru. He has a product called Rage Plus.
Okay.
And Rage Plus, I've seen lots of pictures. He has shown me lots of pictures this year of people that have got championship pumpkins and had championship orchids mm-hmm. and everything else by using this Rage Plus. And so it's
even
it's
some trees he has who've been diseased in the past, and they started using it, and it just sort of fixes the root system, helps it take up nutrients,
and also helps cell division better in the plant and everything else. So it really is like a Red Bull for people.
Vitamin C when you have a cold.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly.
We are kind of seeing a lot more trees looking leafless.
Yeah.
That seemed to happen really quickly. If people are worried about their trees, you said now is the time to kind of wrap them, maybe give them that extra blanket for the winter.
Yeah, because there's not a whole lot you need to do. You can do some pruning if you want to do some pruning. Just don't prune birches and maples. It's too late to prune them now. You got to wait till next July, basically, to start pruning them again. But the rest of the trees you can start pruning if you want to do some.
And your spring flowering plants.
And don't prune your lilacs and
forsythia,
double flowering plum, flowering almond, anything that blooms first thing in the spring.
Okay.
Leave them alone unless it's a lilac that's 12 feet high and you want to bring it down to 6 feet high.
Okay.
Then now's the time to do it.
But you'll lose the blooms.
You just lose most of the blooms, but it doesn't matter. You won't need to control the plant. It's too big. If you just want to do light pruning, if you do light pruning every year, now is not the time you do it on those early blooming shrubs. But the rest of them, like your nine barks and your potentillas and your spireas and, you know, all your ash and lindens and apple trees and flowering crabs, you can prune them right now if you want, or you can prune them in March or the first week of April.
Now, as we're getting into winter, is there such thing as too cold of a day to prune?
Yeah, it's
too, after an ice storm
too cold for if it's like minus, you know, let's say it's minus 25 or colder, it's not good to prune for two reasons. One, it's really cold on your hands.
Yes.
And the other one is that, you know, when you cut it, you're basically, you get some cells that get frozen on the end and they just won't heal properly. So I just don't do it when it's really, really cold.
But maybe now's a good time. You know, we're still getting decent daytime highs and a couple days in the forecast that look pretty nice. So
the next few days, I mean, today is minus one. Tomorrow's plus nine or something like that.
Yeah, we're getting a heat wave here.
So now's a good time to maybe get outside, do those last minute things.
Yeah, or if the snow will disappear and you still haven't picked up those leaves off the grass, you know, take the leaves off the grass and take those leaves and put it around some of the shrubs or something like that need a little extra protection.
I know some of my perennials, like my sedums, they were still blooming beautifully, so I haven't cut those back. So this week when it's warm, we'll be doing that. I also have some hydrangea bushes that were blooming so late in the season and looking beautiful. So I'm not going to prune them down a lot because I leave my hydrangeas up to catch the snow. Yep. But I will take the heads off because leaving the heads on, the snow falls on them, they get heavy, and then the branches might break.
I'm doing that today as well.
So I'll be doing that this week.
All right. So we are going to take a quick break, but you can give us a call or text 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Good morning. Welcome back to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt here with Rick and Jill Van Dyvendyk. A little bit chilly out, but that doesn't mean that we don't have gardening and lawn work to do.
Or those indoor plants.
Or the indoor plants. Right? We're starting to get back into maybe housing some plants in the house that usually are outside.
We're setting up grow lights and making sure they're all on their 12-hour timers.
Yep.
And getting everything ready.
Have the right humidity.
Finding the dark spots.
Christmas lights and the Christmas plants. And
poinsettias has arrived at the greenhouse this week.
Exactly. Oh, wow. So we're getting ready.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Like all the poinsettias were there. Yeah, so it's
and there's a new variety that came out a few years ago. It's called a poinsettia.
Ooh.
And it's kind of got a smaller, more elegant leaf. So if you're looking for like a modern twist on a poinsettia, go to your garden center and ask for a poinsettia. And they usually poinsettias, especially if they're white, they're more of like a yellowish color. This one's a pure white.
Oh, okay.
So it's really pretty. And then they have a pink and then a bicolor pink in those colors right now. So it's really pretty.
And it won't be long, and then all the garden centers and greenhouses will be doing little classes for doing arrangements and that kind of stuff. So it's
table centerpieces.
That time of the year.
We're getting busy.
Yeah.
We have a couple of texts on the text line. You can give us a call or text at any time, 1-877-332-8255. We'll start with Carissa in Nipawin. Yesterday when we were outside, I noticed our choke cherry, purple leaves, not certain of the variety, has some branches with black knot. How do I treat this? Can I just prune the branches and dispose of them?
Now is the perfect time because you can see them. The leaves are all gone, mm-hmm. and you can see the black knot. And like, see, there'll be places where they're actually, you'll see the black. It looks like doggy doo-doo in a tree.
Yes.
Okay, is what it looks like. But you'll also, if you also can take a closer look, you'll see on either side of that doggy doo-doo, you'll see the branches are swollen.
Okay.
And so what you can look for is any other branches that just have not the black on them, but just the swollen part, because that'll be black next year.
Okay.
So you can trim those off as well.
And when you're trimming, how far down from the black knot do you want to trim?
At least 6 inches if you can.
And between each cut, you want to be cleaning your pruners with some bleach as well.
Oh, okay.
Definitely bleach or rubbing alcohol or anything disinfecting, you know, that will clean your pruners. Because especially if you cut right close, you'll get it on your pruners and just spread it.
Okay.
So and then, yeah, cut it out. I say any time of the year you cut it out, you see it, you cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter, especially for choke cherries nut and the Schuberts and Maydays.
But sometimes it's easier to identify those areas in the winter.
Right now, you can see them perfectly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, get them out because what happens is that black has grown this summer. And next, at the end of April and the beginning of May, that's when they actually open up and shoot all their microscopic little spores out.
Yeah.
And land on either the same tree or another choke cherry tree within the area. So that's why you want to get it out as soon as you can. And don't put it in the compost, like Jill was saying. Put it right into the... Take it and put it in the garbage, you know? Mm-hmm.
And remember, this is a fungal that affects the choke cherry family.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not something that's going to spread to your elm tree or to your, apple tree or something like that. It affects the choke cherry specifically.
Okay.
But it is important to get it out of your property and making sure that it goes to landfill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if it gets into the main trunk and you see big lesions in the main trunk, then it's just time to take the tree down. Because you're not going to win.
Mm-hmm. And I never would have thought to clean the whatever you're using to prune it. Yeah. That makes so much sense, but it's one of those ones, you know, you're kind of, you get into the...
If you're right in the infection area, then after every one, but if you're not sure, the type of thing, even with apple trees or fire blight and that kind of stuff, it should be for sure before you go to the next tree.
Yes.
Okay. Before you go to the next tree, but where you see the actual infection, you're pruning around it, do it quite often.
Is there anything you could spray on the tree as a preventative?
Yeah, actually with choke cherries, there is in the spring. You spray them with basically called a dormant kit. And what it is a dormant oil.
Okay.
And it's basically lime sulfur. And those type of things prevent the spores from growing. And it's a prevention. It's not a cure.
So you want to do that in like
pruning.
May or June?
No, you want to do it in basically April. As soon as it's warm enough above zero that you can actually take a hose out there and take a hose and sprayer that you can attach onto your garden hose and have some pressure because, you know, those trees are pretty good size and there's lots of branches. You need to hit all those branches. So just using a little pump sprayer is not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to use a hose and sprayer. A lot of times people will do is they'll hook up the hose up to the tap on your washer and dryer.
Oh, okay.
On your washing machine, because you know your outside taps are still turned off in April,
mm-hmm.
and then you can run a hose out through a window or something like that, and then spray your tree down.
All right, lots of options.
Okay,
we have a text here from Larry in Osler. I've rooted some strawberry runners. Can I put them in the ground and grow them for the winter?
It's going to be hard to put them in the ground right now because they're not going to get rooted in. You could put them in the ground and
mulch them heavy.
But you couldn't just like set them on the ground and just leave them.
Yeah.
You'd have to make sure you mulch them well. Or if you want to, you could put them into some peat moss or some sawdust.
Or pot them into pots.
Pot them into pots and put them into cold storage.
And put them in a storage where they got where it's kept about zero.
Okay.
You know, around there. You know,
still dormant, but not necessarily going to get hurt by the cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Not less than, not more than -5 and not more than +5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, so if you have like a heated garage that stays a consistent temperature, but you don't keep it like 10, 15 degrees, that would be perfect.
And don't water them that much, maybe once a month, you know, just to keep some moisture at the roots, but I don't want them to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We have a text from Jason in Merrifield. Good morning. Is now the time to put the Christmas cactus in the dark for a few days?
You can definitely put the Christmas cactus in the dark for a few days, changing the temperature, changing the light cycle on them, even taking them out of the pot and transplanting them again. Mm-hmm. Those are different things that are going to force it to be like, oh no, shocking here. I need to start reproducing and get some blossoms going. The other thing, if you haven't done any pruning, I usually will do a little bit of pruning on my Christmas cactus back in September.
Okay.
And taking the tips off of your Christmas cactus will help promote new growth. Mm-hmm. And that's where it will bloom off of too. But if you want to start just throwing it in the dark just for a day or two and then putting it back out into sunlight, or if you have a window that has like a slight draft, but it's not going to freeze the plant, that's also nice for it too.
Yeah, the next few days are actually, you have some plus temperatures, right? Yeah. Like +5, +9.
Yeah.
Just crack the window open a little bit. Just give them that cool draft, but it's not, like I said, Jill said, you don't
freeze it at all.
If it gets to zero, close the window.
If even it gets to like 3 or 4 degrees, you'll want to close that window.
But I mean, that coolness, I mean, we're in the desert, it gets cool at night, right? And then also the daylight hours, those kind of things all trigger them.
Yeah, it's not something like a poinsettia where you need to do it for like 3 weeks and keep the 14-hour days and
okay, then how about when it does start budding, how much do you water a Christmas cactus?
You want to stick your finger down into the soil about 2 inches, and it should feel dry to the touch before you're watering. Mm-hmm. If there's moisture in there, leave it alone. When the Christmas cactus is in full bloom, you can water it a little bit more. Yeah, but when it's still in the budding stage, you want to be watching that you're not overwatering it.
Okay, because it is a cactus after all.
It is a cactus, but it's a flowering cactus.
Yes.
So, and
people are always confused about that with the cactus. They see the flowers, right? And they wonder, okay, do I water more or not water more?
The other thing, when you pick up your plants from the store or the nursery, it sometimes have a decorative pot cover on them. Now, that pot cover doesn't have any drainage on it. So a lot of times when we water it, the water is going to drain through because that soil is quite dry already. And then you're going to have water sitting in that pot cover. So it's important you take that off and dump the excess water out because otherwise, you're going to get root rot in the base.
And if you like those kind of the festive covers, you can always put it back on.
Oh, yes. Always put it back on. Just dump the extra water out for sure.
All right. So you just want to stress it out just enough that it wants to flower, but not enough to kill it.
Yeah, just a couple of
days. And you know, that of draining that extra, that's not just Christmas cactus. That's poinsettias. That's your Norfolk pines. It's everything. Anything that has that silver foil, that colorful Christmas foil on them. Just make sure you drain the excess water of any kind of plant.
Yeah, and if you're in the garden center and they don't have the foil on them, it's usually just because we're caring for the plants for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Feel free to ask for it, and they'll usually throw one on for you.
They can figure it out for you.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do one more text, and then we'll take a quick break for news. I want to get rid of a Manitoba maple tree that started from a seed in my mom's flowering almond tree. The maple is too big to pull out by hand. You told us not to trim maples right now. If I cut it, will I kill it?
Well, do they want to cut it out so that they want to transplant it?
They want to get rid of it.
Well, yeah, so don't worry about killing it. So cut it off.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can't pull it, then cut it off. But what's going to happen is that most likely what's going to happen is it's going to fork out
from
where you cut it. Now you're going to have two stems that will come up.
Yeah.
So what you may have to do is that once it leaves, you can just leave it alone, actually, if you want to. And then next spring, what you do is you take, once it starts leafing out, is you can take some Roundup, right, on a paintbrush and paint it on the leaves.
Okay.
Okay. Don't spray it because you don't want to hit your flowering almond that you
use
it. So just paint it on the leaves of the maple, and then that'll kill the root and everything so it doesn't keep coming back for you.
Okay. And you can protect the
otherwise, if you just trim it, it's going to grow back again.
All right. Fair enough. All right. We are going to take a quick break for news. If you have any questions for Rick or Jill, you can give us a call or text 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. We're back with more Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. You can give us a call or text anytime at 1-877-332-8255. Bit of a Remembrance Day tradition.
Yes.
So we are going to read you In Flanders Fields.
In Flanders Fields. In Flanders Fields. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow. Between the crosses, row on row.
That mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely sing, fly. Scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived. Felt dawn, saw sunset glow. Loved and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders Fields.
Take up our quarrel with foe. To you from falling hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith to us who die, we shall not sleep through poppies grow in Flanders fields.
So now there's one thing we always, this is a tradition for the show, because of the poppies and the symbolization. Now you just read up about this, what that means, Jill.
Yeah, well, poppies, of course, they're red, and in the fields, they represent the bloodshed during the war. So something that we can look back and remember. Yeah. But also with poppies, they grow in the fields and they're quite a resilient flower. So is a reminder of the resilience of life. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of a beautiful thing in combination with the poem and then the poppies. And then they've become a tradition that you can purchase a poppy and wear it in support of our veterans too.
And there's still lots of time to do that. There's poppies. I've seen them all over this weekend when you're running errands. You know, if you don't have a poppy yet, you can probably grab one at, you know, the grocery store or the Tim Hortons when you're grabbing your coffee. There's lots of chance to do it, and it goes to a great cause, supporting our veterans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lest we forget.
Exactly. Right.
Yep.
All right. Back to the text line. We have a question about Christmas cactus. How much can you prune your Christmas cactus back before it starts to bloom? Mine are all blooming now.
Oh, if it's blooming now, you're not going to have to worry about it at all. But it's usually just the tip. So Christmas cactuses, they have almost like this round part and then kind of a jagged edge on the tip. And you're just wanting to bend and break the tip off.
Okay.
And that's all you're doing.
And you could take those tips and you can actually plant them in the soil as
well. You can plant them in the soil and create little new plants. And that's why a Christmas cactus is so great, because it's usually handed down from generations or becomes a friendship plant that you can share with amongst your family over the years. So get those little end tips rooted afterwards and they can start producing for you too.
Perfect. Larry from Osler again just wanted to clarify his strawberry question. Says he does want to grow the strawberries in the winter and have rooted strawberries. Can he accomplish this by planting them indoors?
They usually need to go through a dormant period.
Okay.
So if he does keep them indoors, I would probably make them go dormant till about February.
Okay.
And then plant them up at that point in time, just so that they have a break. You got lots of energy into that plant, and then they can start going hard in the spring.
And you can even keep them in a paper bag with a little bit of peat moss and that kind of stuff if you want, and just check on them that they don't go bone dry.
Even heard of people keeping them in a fridge.
Yeah.
Okay. So. And if you want to, is it possible to kind of keep your plant going through the winter to maybe get strawberries, or you got to give it that dormant period?
It's going to be pretty tricky indoors to keep that plant going. Because you're going to be putting it in a pot. You're going to be watering it so often. You'll have to make sure you're fertilizing it too to get enough nutrients, because all the nutrients in that soil are going to be completely leached out. Grow light would be really important, so making sure you have about 14 hours of sunlight. But remember that they are a perennial, so perennials do need a dormant stage. So you are going to make sure that if you want to keep it growing in your house, you need to give it a dormant stage. So putting it into a basement, letting it go dormant for a little bit, and then you can bring it up inside your house and start growing it again.
All right. Sounds good. We have Murray from Regina on the phone line here. Let's just see if my mouse is going to work. There we go. Good morning, Murray. What's your question for Rick and Jill?
Well, good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
I was curious. I bought a couple of Saskatoonberry seedlings, I guess you'd say, almost. They're about a foot high.
Yep.
Planted them in the spring. They didn't really grow very much, but they had leaves, so I'm guessing they're still alive. They're really just a couple of sticks poking out of the ground at this point. Do I need to do anything to help them survive the winter, or are they going to be okay?
They'll be just fine. They'll be just fine. Next spring, if you want to, you can use just a little bit higher nitrogen fertilizer to get them to grow, you know, like a 20-20-20 or a 30-10-10 liquid mixed with water, because you're not worried about the fruit right now, because you're not going to get on the seedling like that. It's going to take 3 to 5 years before you get into full production of that plant. But you just want it to grow right now. So just, and once from now until you get it to the growth where it's starting to produce, you want to give it some nitrogen, because that's all you want is growth. And then once you got the growth happening, now you want to cut the nitrogen out, because you'll get more fruit production by not giving as much nitrogen.
Okay. Should those not have grown something this year, though?
Oh, it should have grown something, but it all depends on, you know, how much water it got and how much nutrients it got this year. And if you just planted it and left it there, it would have just basically worked on getting its root system established this year. Okay.
Gotcha.
And so next year you want to actually give it the nutrients, and you can do that every 3 weeks, right? From basically Mother's Day, about May the 10th, and then stop fertilizing around July the 15th.
So fertilize every 3 weeks.
Every 3 weeks, yeah. With the, and that size of a plant, I'd be using about between 1 and 2 liters of water every time I fertilize it, mixed with the fertilizer and by the recommended what it says on the package.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
As always, Rick.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
I know. All right, we have Bob from Saskatoon. My apple trees are now dormant and their leaves have dropped. Can I safely prune them next week?
What was that again? What type of plant?
It's an apple tree.
Apple tree. Now is the time you can prune apple trees. I've used to prune. I never had time in the spring because we're so busy in the greenhouse. And I always prune my own personal fruit trees. I always did it basically as soon as the leaves drop until about the, you know, to the end of November. That's when I've done a lot, most of my pruning of apple trees and that. So
one thing with your fruit trees is you're really wanting to watch those crossing branches, any disease branches. And when the leaves aren't on the tree, you can see that a lot easier. So you can actually see the structure of the tree. And a great resource that I've always used is I love to go to ArborCrest's website and they have great diagrams on how to prune the different types of trees. And one of them is an apple tree. I know that I've gone there and I've used some of those diagrams as well, too.
Yeah, you want to take care of water sprouts and branches that come out of the tree and turn and go straight up through the middle. I don't like what's called pollarding the tree, which is cutting the top off. A lot of people like doing that because they don't want to reach up high for
everyone. Okay, yeah.
I'd rather thin it out and then get myself one of the long poles to build with a basket that gets the apples up close, or you just leave those few apples at the very top for the birds. And but other than that, just cutting the suckers off, any long branches that maybe are growing into the grass and, you know, knocking your sunglasses off every time you cut the grass. You can trim those off right now and, you know, or the ones that are rubbing up against the fence and those kind of things. Those you can do all trimming right now.
All right. Plus, we're going to have a couple of nicer days later in the week. So, you know, maybe you wait until it's 5 degrees so you don't have to wear the long johns while you're out there.
There you go.
We do have another, this one's more of a comment. It's coming from Julie in Battleford about poppies. Visited some places in France. Her grandfather was shot in First World War. Beside the war cemetery, the poppies are still growing in the ditch.
Yeah, awesome.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That'd be a really cool sight. You know, you go there probably to see where your family ended up and the poppies are still there.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of neat because poppies are making a comeback as a trend actually in gardening, and we're seeing more people plant them in their yard. So it's just nice sort of to that poppy that you see as a reminder is actually something that people can have as a reminder all year round as well in their yard.
The great.
Yeah.
We have them out just in a bed farther away from the house. And it's quite amazing. They're so red and they just, some are orange, some are red, and they just pop. You can see them like crazy. So.
And such a recognizable flower for Canadians, I think. All right, we are going to take a quick break. Then we'll be back with more Garden Talk. You can text or call in with your questions, 1-877-332-8255. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Good morning. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt here with Rick and Jill Van Dyvendyk from Dutch Growers. It is a little bit of a frosty day, but we do have some warm ones coming up this week, so lots of time to do things.
It's funny. I was just watching the geese take off the sandbar here, but yesterday there was a flock of swans that were on Blackstrap Lake, and they were just flying around, and there's big birds. Like, and it's quite amazing. They're pure white, you know, and it was just neat to see them, but they're with this cold weather, they're moving their way.
They're starting to get their calling cards south.
I was surprised that this late the swans were still here, but there was a pretty big flock of them. So
I think they're a little confused this year because it was so beautiful until a week ago.
Now, with before we get into our last few texts here, next week Christmas trees start coming in, can believe that. And I know Christmas decorating is in full swing. A lot of people take down their Halloween and start getting them up. But Rick, can you give us a few tips on if you want to collect your Christmas tree? They'll probably be available after next weekend,
I think ours arrive on the 16th or 17th.
Yeah, they arrive on Tuesday next week, but then they'll be out by the weekend, but not up until then. So what are some things that people can do to keep their tree fresh if they're buying it this early?
If they're putting it up that early, some people are going away, you know, so they're not going to have it up during Christmas time usually. But if they're putting it up that early, you definitely want to find a tree that is the heaviest one of, let's say, that all the plants that look the same.
Yes.
Find the heaviest one. That's the one that has the most moisture content in it. And so that'll be the biggest thing. And keeping the moisture, for especially for the first 3 days and then every day after that, and then also using a Christmas tree preservative in the water. Mm-hmm. Keep the pores open, just like they put the little packets for when you get some cut flowers.
Yeah.
You know, in the little packet, and that helps keeps the pores open, so keeps them. But putting them up in the middle of November, to hopefully they'll last till New Year's, it's a stretch.
Tricky process.
And there's a product called Wilt Proof, which is an anti-desiccant.
Yes,
so it seals the. So if you're putting your tree up in November, you should probably package of that. And you want to spray it maybe in your, put some plastic down or a tarp down and spray it in your garage before you put it out.
I would definitely do that. Yeah. If I put it up in the middle of November. Yes.
Absolutely.
Because you want to keep those trees well watered.
Yes.
And just. Even if you get them in December, because you don't want them to be too dry.
And maybe you want to be on the ball and pick up your tree early because you don't want to miss out on getting a tree, because trees actually are in short supply. Mm-hmm. So you maybe want to pick it up because you're going on a trip or something.
Yeah.
If you do that, put the tree into a bucket of water and put it into a shady spot in your yard. Keep it cool. Mm-hmm. Don't put it next to a furnace in your garage or anything like that.
Not up against the house where the sun's beating on it all the time, because that dries them out as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, now's the time to, you know, maybe pull out that old Christmas tree stand and make sure it's big enough to hold enough water.
Yeah.
Some of them don't hold very much water, so maybe now's the time to look. I know there's lots of Christmas sales out there right now and that kind of stuff, so now's the time to maybe get that tree stand that will hold up your tree, not fall over.
My 6-foot tree soaked up 8 liters of water in a matter of 6 hours when I put it up.
That's quite a bit of water.
And that's a good thing.
Yes.
Right? You wanted to do that.
Yeah. But, all right. But you do have to keep on top of it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, sorry. Back to the text.
We will go to Daryl in Humboldt. I cut my 25-foot Schubert. 25-foot inch? I don't know. Because of disease.
Yes.
Tried to save it, but after 3 years, no go. Will the suckers coming up next year amount to any kind of bush or something salvageable?
Yes, they will. There'll be multiple stems, right? So you can trim them up into a single tree because they're on their own root. So it'll be the same plant.
Okay.
Okay. So definitely, but don't forget the suckers will come up everywhere.
Okay.
So you have to decide, okay, well, do I want to deal with that or do I want to kill the whole trunk?
Yes.
And kill all the roots because I got them coming up everywhere.
Okay.
And so, so it's really hard because, you can keep one coming up where the trunk was, but if they start coming up in the grass, then you might have to decide what you want to do.
All right. We are going to go to the phone line where we find Ian in Saskatoon. Good morning, Ian. What's your question for Rick and Jill?
Hey, good morning. I sure hope you got to do telework today, Rick.
Yeah. we made him come in.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay, so with supposedly the weather's going to go back up above zero.
Yes.
I've heard anywhere from 6 to 13. So I have not had a chance to put my grip hose around my big trees yet. Do you think the ground will still be frozen or would be frozen?
No, it'll, by that time, you'll watch right now, if you go and dig around your yard right now, it's just frozen just at the very, very, like the first, not even an inch is frozen. So that warmth, you'll be able to water and give them a good soak yet, not a problem.
Okay, so I was going to do an hour on the big 20 to 25 footers on a slow drip?
Yep, perfect.
Okay, and then what about Hugo pines and woodworthy cedars and stuff? Maybe half an hour?
Especially those ones, give them a good drink, because you want to be able to wet it down to at least, 6-8 inches down into the ground, because that's where the main roots are for those ones. And so you just want to soak it down. So just it might be half an hour, might be an hour, depending on your dripper, right? You have.
I do an hour and it only needs half, it won't hurt it?
That's fine.
Okay, and then the last thing is, the pillows you talked about for insulating, like I've got some zone 3s and zone 4 perennials.
Yes.
I can't find any white bags this year.
Oh, yeah, usually just...
At Costco, they have the white kitchen bags.
Kitchen bags. I buy the
tall kitchen bags. Yep. I was looking for the big 74-liter...
Those ones are harder to find. Mine, I just use smaller ones for the... Like, they're still a pretty good size, the ones I have. And so you can still make it... Like, it'll make a traditional pillow, right? Not a giant, big...
Sack.
Not a body pillow, but, it'll make a regular-sized pillow, mine will. And they're white, and they reflect the sun, and then you just fill them up enough that you just set them on top. That's all you need.
Okay, so okay. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find enough leaves that are dry.
Yeah. Well, you know what, is you can always, you know, even if you want to right now, is that grab a bunch of leaves, even if they're a bit wet, and then bring them into your garage and lay them out, or, you know, put them in a mesh or something like that. It's amazing how quickly they will dry out if you put them into a mesh or something like that. If you put them in a bag, they'll stay wet and get moldy, right? Like a plastic bag.
You get 25 to 30 years of, sheets and blankets for covering tomatoes and
yeah.
stuff. Can I just fold those up and put them in inside the
yep,
bank?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Anything okay. that would give it insulation. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thanks, Ian.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. I'm just looking at the forecast now. Tomorrow in Saskatoon area, high of 10. Tomorrow yep. in the Regina area, high of 7. So, and pretty much beautiful all week. I think the next time we see a zero temperature is just overnight.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's nice that we have this snowfall on the ground right now because it's going to melt into the ground.
Yep.
And we'll get a little bit of moisture there.
By this time next weekend, it won't be white anymore. It'll be...
Fingers crossed.
It'll be black-free.
And we can do a little bit of yard work, maybe those last-minute things you didn't quite get to before the snow fell. Yeah. I know out in my area, we're all thinking about like, oh, we did leave a lot of leaves.
but the only thing I do worry about is that, you know, like minus 15 is not bad, but if it gets lower than minus 15, then putting some insulation, those like when I collect leaves in the fall, you put them in a bag, stick them in the corner, but that's the time you'd use them.
Yeah.
Because we've had brown Christmases before, right? And so having just a skiff of snow is amazing insulator, but if we don't get that and we get down to minus 20, just like the last caller was talking about, some of those zone 4 perennials, they're going to need some protection.
For sure.
So it's very important to give them some cover if, because we definitely will lose at plus 10. We will lose the snow we have.
Mm-hmm. All right. And that brings us to the end of the show for this week. Rick, Jill, thanks for hanging out with me for an hour.
Thanks for coming in.
Of course.
Yes.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.